Bruce Gill is on a rather long journey to become as free from fossil fuels as he possibly can. And that personal journey has now put him behind the wheel of a Tesla, the latest iteration of low carbon emitting vehicles. And the Tesla is the best yet, as when Bruce is driving it, the emissions are zero. Welcome to this latest episode of Climate Conversations. It's so great to have you on board. I'm your host, Robert McLean. This podcast is assembled here in Shepparton, in northern Victoria, Australia, on the lands of the Yorta Yorta people. Yes, the stolen lands of the Yorta Yorta people, and I pay my respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging. Right from the beginning, I like to put my interviewees in context. And Bruce comes from a small town about 18 kilometres west of Shepparton. Here is what he had to say.
That's right. I live in Tatura. I have for 35 years now.
So you're local?
Potentially, yeah. One of the interesting things about Tatura was that you didn't need to be born here to be accepted as a local, I think, because had such a diverse working population, you know, from the factories, milk factories, Rosella, and then the Gold Murray Water, or Rural Water Commission, Gold Murray Water, and then this research farm, and a lot of people live in Shep, work in Shep and live in Tatura, so.
And vice versa.
Yeah, it's, it wasn't as if I was hanging on to being born here to be a local.
And what do you actually do, Bruce?
So I'm a research scientist. I'm actually a hydrogeologist. So I did geology at uni and then specialised in the water you can't see, the water that's hidden in the ground. And now
groundwater.
Groundwater, yes, yes. So I came up here originally for salinity management program purposes. And then, now I work with Agriculture Victoria in the research, agriculture research division.
And you now own a Tesla. So can you tell me about what model it is and what year it is? I assume it's secondhand.
Yeah, it's a 2018 Model S, and it's a 75D variant. So the 75 is the size of the battery, 75 kilowatt hour, and D means it's got dual motors, so it's all-wheel drive.
So why did you buy a Tesla, Bruce?
Well, I had the means and the opportunity, and it was the car that started the electric revolution, and I have only ever read good things about them. And so when the opportunity arose, that's the car we chose.
It's a rude question, but how much did you pay for it?
So I had some other reasons why it wasn't one particular reason, but I also wanted to become a fossil-free motoring, you know, person. So I wanted to get off fossil fuels as soon as I could. And I'd been looking at used cars, used Tesla S's for a while, so I knew what was available. And you can't buy them new at the moment. They're not available in Australia, haven't been for a couple of years now, 2 or 3 years as they were updating the model.
So where did you buy that from?
So I bought it through carsales.com, and the other reason I'd test driven a friend in Melbourne, lives near Chadstone, and she organised a test drive of the Tesla 3s that were available for test drives, and one drive with electric, and you're really, you know, it's a bit hard to go back to ICE vehicles because they're just so smooth and responsive. It's just a different level of involvement with driving a car. Now, some people purists might argue you can't hear the engine. Well, why do you need to?
Yeah.
So I wanted to experience that firsthand. But it's 55,000 kilometres on the clock when we bought it in November last year. 2021. We've had it for just over 12, 13 months now. The original owner lived south of Sydney in Nowra, and probably because of COVID, he didn't drive it as much as he might have. So it was a 2018. In new, they were probably 120,000, 130,000. But we paid 77 for it.
Mm. What's it like to drive?
Oh, look, it's a prestige car, and it's comparable probably to a lot of high-end European cars. certainly it's been compared to the Beamers and the Mercedes in that sort of big, large sedan category. It's all-wheel drive. It's got air suspension. It's low to the ground. It's a Grand Tourer type car, large sedan. So it's just very nice to drive. It's comfortable. It's quiet. It's got very secure handling because all the weight of the batteries is right down low. And one of the good things is when you pull into your garage, you can shut the door and it's still running. The air conditioning can still be running and there's no choking exhaust fumes.
Mm. Tell me about where you charge it or how you charge it.
So when we looked into it and after I'd bought it, I ordered a home charger from Tesla, and that was about $700 charger. And then we just had an electrician connected in, very convenient in our garage. It's right behind the circuit, the meter box. So that's where we charge it. We charge it at home whenever it needs some charging. And, probably 70%, 80% of our driving is done from home charging.
Have you done any long trips in the car though?
Yeah, we've done some long trips. We travelled last May to Brisbane and back, and we visited some people in Sydney, and then some friends stayed with friends in Broadbeach, and then my aunt and uncle in Brisbane, and it was a 3,200-kilometre return trip. The beauty of the cars is you say where you want to go next and it tells you where you need to charge, how much you need to charge. And also when we stayed overnight, we tended to choose accommodation that had charging either in the town or within its, they might have had a destination charger, they're called. Mm-hmm. So they have a like our home charger on the wall in their car park and you just charge there as part of your accommodation.
Oh, okay. So you had no troubles travelling from here to Brisbane and back in relation to charging?
The car doesn't have a huge range. It's because it's not the bigger battery. It's got typically we can do 300 Ks really without worrying on freeway speeds, 110, 100 and whatever you like to drive at. And when you're going to urban mixed driving, the range goes up because of regeneration and stop start. So we've not had a problem. There was one time when we left Sydney, we hadn't put a full charge in it because it was Sydney, and what Sydney peak hour traffic's like. Mm. We didn't go to the inner city charger. We sort of kept away and went to a shopping centre charger on the edge of southwest Sydney and probably didn't put enough charge in and didn't realise that it was all uphill to Bathurst, Goulburn, yeah, where we were staying that night. And so we had to slow down a bit on the drive. But it's like a petrol car. If you know you're getting empty, you just slow down.
Yeah.
And the slower you go, the less energy you need.
Mm.
And so we cruised into Goulburn at sort of 10 o'clock that night with about 35, 40 Ks left, range left.
So it tells you all that stuff, doesn't it, I assume?
Oh, it's constant, yeah. It's constantly calculating your range and remaining battery and all those sort of things, so.
What did you drive before the Tesla?
So the our first car reducing our fossil fuel dependence was a 2013 Camry hybrid. And that was, an Australian made ones. It was we sold it in 2020 though, sort of during COVID when we realised we weren't getting out much and we had two cars. We've got two cars. And at that time we thought, we were almost going to replace it with a new Camry, but then thought, no, we don't need a second car at the moment, particularly under the current COVID conditions. So that left us with our 2015 Mitsubishi Outlander plug-in hybrid. So that's a vehicle with a larger battery. So unlike the Camry, which has only got a small battery in it, the plug-in hybrid's got a 15 kilowatt-hour battery, and so we can charge that and do about 35, 40 kilometres pure electric. And that's what we've had for most of the last 4 or 5 years, 3 or 4 years. And on local trips, you're just running on the battery. So it's, no pollution, very fuel efficient. And it's like a hybrid, so it recovers energy under normal driving. And you could say that I've been on an automotive carbon reduction curve for over a decade now.
Did you buy the Tesla for economic or environmental reasons or both?
Mainly for environmental reasons. particularly as transport, you know, fossil fuel use is our biggest greenhouse gas contribution. You know, that was what I was keen to stop being responsible for the importing of fossil fuels. If it was just for environmental reasons, if it was just for economic reasons, I could have bought a cheaper car. So whenever anyone makes a decision about buying a car, there's probably more than one reason.
Yeah.
And certainly, it does cost, you know, significantly less to run than a petrol powered or diesel powered car.
So does owning a Tesla ease your conscience somewhat?
It does. Yeah, very much so. We're no longer dependent on that, very long carbon intensive overseas fossil fuel supply chain. We're not adding to Australia's energy import bill anymore, and we're not causing air pollution. So, yeah, ticks a lot of boxes.
What happens about servicing?
Servicing's pretty good because as an electric car, there's much less servicing required, fewer moving parts, basically battery, electronics and the motors, and electric cars are very reliable. So servicing doesn't really have any set servicing intervals. They suggest every 2 years, get a checkup. When we bought it, the previous owner did have to take it in because some rats happened to have chewed the hydraulic pipes on the air suspension. So we had to have that repaired. when we got it, we actually were going to get it serviced in Melbourne sometime middle of last year, but when we realised we're going to Brisbane and had days to kill there, we thought, oh, we might as well get it serviced in Brisbane. So that's what we did. And they found that there was an alignment problem on one of the wheels, and they fixed that. So and plus we upgraded the one of the good things about Teslas is, well, this one anyway, you can upgrade systems on it if you so desire. And because it was an earlier model, it didn't have some of the features of the newer ones, and we were able to get things swapped out, the processor and the navigation and the and other features and software features, so it's sort of been upgraded now.
Can you explain to me the carbon savings between this car, between the Tesla and what you've previously driven?
So typically with an electric car, it costs substantially less in both energy and cost to run it than an equivalent ICE car. So since we've had it, its computer tells me I've used 17.5 kilowatt hours per 100 kilometres. And if you, based on my home electricity costs, which is about 29 cents a kilowatt hour, excluding the service charges, you've got to pay that anyway, it costs about $5 to cover those 100 kilometres. Whereas our previous Camry, which was a pretty fuel efficient car, it typically used about 6.5 litres per 100 Ks on the, especially country driving. And so at current petrol cost, that costs around $11.50 per 100 kilometres. So the electric car is costing about half to run. But the main thing in terms of carbon dioxide emissions, I've been buying green electricity since it was an option probably, 8-10 years ago. So in theory, all my electricity is renewable energy generated, and so carbon footprint next to nothing.
I take it you've got solar panels.
No, I don't actually. I've sort of that's an interesting. My philosophy, I guess, is that I would prefer to buy green energy because companies and other organisations can build and maintain solar panels more cheaply than I can. And I wouldn't be eligible for many of the subsidies for solar panels. My good friend in Melbourne, he's also gone fully electric. He did install solar panels, and he's installed what's called a Zappy charger, but that's the brand name. But it's a smart charger that automatically routes power from his solar panels to either his home use, or if the panel's generating too much, then it goes into his car. Or if the car's full, it goes to the grid. So it's quite interesting. The technology has enabled you to basically run your own car from your own rooftop.
Yeah, it's pretty good, isn't it?
Mm.
Electric cars can be frightfully expensive. So what do you think our governments, I suppose state and federal, should be doing to ensure other people can access them, or more people can access them?
Yeah, look, I did give this question a little bit of thought, because, like, we probably need to qualify it by saying that all cars can be frightfully expensive.
True, they can.
You can pay whatever you like. You can pay a lot more than you can pay for any electric car, for a luxury car. And if you look at what's on the road, there are obviously people who aren't short of a buck and they drive quite expensive cars. But one of the a very good recent edition of Wheels car magazine listed the available, or did a big mega test of all the electric cars you can buy in Australia at the late last year. And if you look at Australia's top two selling vehicles, which is the Ford Ranger and the Toyota Hilux, the Ranger has a recommended retail price of from $51,000 to $86,000, and Hilux cost from $48,000 to $71,000. Mm. And so within those price ranges, there were 13 EVs that Wheels tested that are within that price range. Now, okay, they're EVs, if you're looking at model for model comparison, EVs are still substantially more expensive to buy that option. So, you know, for example, the Hyundai Kona and the is about, you know, $20,000 more for the electric powered version of what you can buy with an ICE engine. Likewise, the Kia Niro, and they're basically, you know, they're smallish, medium sized SUV type vehicles. So yeah, so they cost quite a bit more to go green, and obviously that's a big disincentive for people who are just looking for mobility. But yeah, as far as the government subsidising EVs, look, I think they're probably doing as much as they can do politically, and I think one of the things they should be doing is encouraging all their departments and other government, quasi-government departments, to start buying EVs so that second-hand ones start becoming more readily available and affordable.
Do you have any views on a road tax type thing for electric cars?
Oh, look, I've had my battles with the Vic Roads last year when they introduced the ZLEV. And, yeah, look, it was – anyway, that's another story. Look, I don't have a philosophical objection to it. I understand why governments are concerned that if they lose petrol and diesel excise, they will have less money in their budgets. And, you know, when it was introduced in the 50s, it was for road building, which is fair enough. Not so much nowadays. So I don't have a concern, you know, a big issue with paying a thing. The annoying thing is that Victoria is the only jurisdiction in the world that has one introduced. and so the Tesla last year's cost them $350, which reminds me I need to pay that, $350 in ZLEV tax this year. So
do you pay that annually?
Yeah, it's an annual charge on your mileage.
Oh, okay. So you're paying so much per kilometre or something?
Yeah, 2.6 cents per kilometre.
Okay.
And the PHEV, which that's what really annoyed me last year, because I'm a country dweller and my PHEV mostly travels on petrol, when I did the calculations, most of my kilometres in the country were on, I was running on petrol. And yet I'm, you know, and so my costs were more than if you'd had a fully electric car. Almost, because I'm paying excise and the ZLEV charge.
Yeah.
Anyway, I had my battle. I tried to involve the Electric Vehicle Council, and anyway, I was at least I tilted at the windmill last year.
Bruce, the internal combustion engine is headed rightfully, I think, for the dustbin. So, and the electric car is poised to take over. But I'm an enthusiast of public transport. Do you think there's any room for sophisticated public transport?
Yeah, of course, especially in cities and towns where the population density is high enough to justify electrified, you know, trains, trams, buses and taxis. And, yeah, if we can, or if governments can try to make sure public transport is a cheaper option for, you know, every person for the kilometres they're travelling than private cars, then, yeah, that should be a key priority. So, yeah, and plus also improved bike paths, electric bikes and other, you know, e-scooters and things, you know, provide more options for more people to stop being dependent on a traditional car.
Are there any other fully electric cars in Stuart?
Look, I haven't seen any residential ones. I've seen the occasional Tesla 3 through town. There was, I think, a Hyundai at the charger near the car wash in Tatura. But yeah, the only other electric car in town is when my friend from Melbourne visits with his Volvo XC40. And that's when there's two electric cars in Tatura.
Bruce, I don't have any more questions, so is there something else you would like to say?
Look, the Wheels EV Showdown edition from just 20 late last year, the yearbook. A quote from the editor, Andy Enright, I thought was quite good. He said, "While these additional emissions, I was talking about, are electric vehicles more carbon intensive to build, and there is some slight, 10, 20, 30% increase in energy intensity and manufacture because of the batteries." It's clear that EVs aren't for everyone, and some just can't see the vehicle they want for the price that they like. And people, that's certainly an issue at the moment, and supply has been constrained. So all the electric vehicle equivalents of what people think they need now aren't yet available, but that's starting to happen. The four-wheel drive people mover, ute type things are starting to enter the market. So yeah, I think it's happening. And he says, in terms of electric vehicles, he says, "We ask people should keep an open mind. Just because a solution doesn't work for you doesn't mean that it can't work for somebody else or that it'll never work for you. In the meantime," so electric vehicles certainly seem to get people's hackles up. Some people think it's a threat to their existence and their lifestyle. I think the reality is that no one's forcing electric cars down anyone's throat. They just are an alternative propulsion of option nowadays, and they've become very viable. My brother-in-law has a he bought a couple of years ago, 2 or 3 years ago now, at least 2 years, a little MG electric, fully electric. He lives in Sydney, in a Sydney, so his Sydney needs, it's fantastic.
All right, friend Bruce. I appreciate the chance to talk with you. That's great.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
Yes, thank you so much, Bruce. That was just wonderful. And that wraps up this episode of Climate Conversations. Thanks so much for your company. Until we talk again, please take care, stay safe, and please be kind. For everyone you meet is fighting a great battle. And if you enjoyed this episode, please feel free to share with your friend. So until we talk again, please take care.